so much of purity relates to listening to God yourself and knowing for yourself that what you're doing pleases the Lord, and that you don't just do it because I'm not supposed to, but you do it for a reason. And in the sessions that we're going to have together, I know the title of this seminar was Being a God-Centered Woman in a Self-Centered World. And I'd like to spend some time just visiting together about what it means to listen to the Lord. I think as women, a lot of times we are easily influenced, but everyone is easily influenced, so it's not just us. But a lot of times we listen to a lot of voices around us because we feel like somehow we're not capable of listening to God on our own. Or how does God really speak to me personally? And in this past year, I've learned a lot of that has been brought to my attention, that what is God really saying? And do I hear what He's saying, or do I hear what other godly people are saying, which is good. That's good too. Do I hear what my friends are saying, Christian friends? You know, there's just so many voices that are even good godly voices that are speaking to us all around us, but none of that substitutes for you and God alone. And that's kind of where we're headed with this, just so you kind of know what I mean when I say being God-centered in a self-centered world. Even as believers, we can be more concerned about what other Christians think than about what God thinks. And I think that it's something all of us here pretty much have, you know, grown up in environments where we've been raised under the sound of the Word of God. And, you know, our desires to want to please our parents and to please the godly leaders in our lives. But taking that just a little step further, remember that God wants to speak to you, that He should be and is your God, and you are His person. And as June brought out, you know, each one of us is created in a unique way and for a unique purpose. And sometimes when you hear somebody say, God has only good things for you, what really comes to your mind? I mean, really, honestly. When somebody says to you, God has only good planned for you, how come in reality we're not more happy about that thought? Now, during this session, we're going to talk, so if you're not prepared for that, I may call on you. I don't want to do all the talking, because I think it's good to listen sometimes to each other, because each of us has something that God's been talking to us about that we can contribute to each other's lives. So hopefully the time we spend together won't be just me sharing with you, but hopefully we'll be sharing together. But I really want to know that. What is it when people say to you at your stage in life, God has only good things for you, what comes to your mind? I mean, does it make you jump for joy and stand on a chair and just want to run around in circles? Or does it make you think, I wonder what that good thing really is? I mean, I wonder if I'm going to like His good thing, you know? Seriously, I mean, realistically, tell me, what goes through your mind? Maybe what runs through your mind, will I be as happy as someone else? Maybe you have someone else in mind, you know? If you're thinking about getting married someday, you think, well, will I have a husband like so-and-so? Will I have a marriage relationship like so-and-so? I mean, a lot of these things kind of run through our minds. But what does it mean to be really God-centered? And I just had a few thoughts that, you know, I kind of looked up the word centered. What does that mean to have a center? And in all the voices and all the influences and the things that are going on around us, we need to have in our lives a center, and that center needs to be God, and it needs to be His Word. And I think we started out last night in the main session talking about that, and June emphasized it again, that God has to be our center, and His Word has to be the end has to be the authority in our lives. It has to be. And sometimes we may, you know, I've often said this to my kids and to others that we've just shared conversation with. Sometimes you just do things because God said so. You know, sometimes you don't know why. Sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes it just doesn't seem to be black and white. Why do we do what we do? Why should I be God-centered? Well, because God said so. And when we think of it that way, sometimes that raises in our hearts a thought of, you know, confinement maybe, or maybe that produces a little bit of rebellion in our hearts to say, well, you know, who does God think he is that he can tell me what to do? Now, I'm not saying any of you feel that way, but maybe you've run into people that you've talked to who do feel that way. And I think the hardest thing sometimes in our Christian lives is to come to the place where no matter what, as Elizabeth has said, no matter what God brings into our lives, if he allows it and he does it, then it's going to be good, whether I agree it's good or not. And I think that's hard. I mean, we have to admit, because we're human and God is who he is, there is no way we're going to agree on everything. There's no way we can, because I am human. I'm full of sin. I don't see things like God sees them. Okay, so the struggles you go through, the feelings that you have, those are normal because you are a sinner and God understands those thoughts, but he still presents himself to us the same way. I'm God, and what are you going to do with me? And so, being God-centered, some of the thoughts, how do I honor God and still live in this present world? There's such a fine line in that, isn't there? You know, people tell you, don't do this and don't do that, and yet you still need to live in the world, and somehow you have to make an impact because that's why we're here. God could have taken all of us home to be with him the minute we came to know him as our Savior, but he didn't. He left little representations of himself in each one of us. And so where God has placed you, whether you're at school or you're at home or you're in a job environment, wherever you are, the question you should be asking yourself is what does God want me to do where I am that's in line with his word? God does give us boundaries. And outside of those boundaries, there's lots of different things that God will call women to do. And the exciting thing about it is, I've been studying this year on different things that we've done in our ladies' Bible study and in other areas. To me, it's really fascinating to see the uniqueness of the place that God has women in Scripture. And sometimes we confine ourselves to thinking it's only in this area or it's only in this area. But God's got a myriad of places where he has used women in Scripture. And it's times like this that it's kind of neat where we can pull away from the guys a little bit and away from that kind of ministry and just think, God created me to be a woman, okay? I don't have a lesser role as far as God's concerned at all. I don't have a lesser role in any area of my life. And sometimes our attitude is, well, the guys can do this and I can't, as opposed to saying, the guys can do this and I can do this. You know, and maybe our position is different, our roles are different, but they're not any less. And to me, it's exciting sometimes just to sit down and think together over being God-centered as a Christian woman, honoring God and still living in this world. Being God-centered would mean, I would feel anyway, having a regard for God's ways would be one. Being firm and steady in those ways. Being well-balanced, which is something that we want to talk about in these couple of sessions. Being determined to fulfill God's purposes and God's goals while I'm here on this earth, as opposed to fulfilling my goals, which would be a woman who is living in a self-centered environment. And I think in this world today, there is a mentality, and I know you girls that are working out in the world, you probably face this a lot more, than some of the others do, but there is that pressure all the time to feel like there's something more out there that I haven't yet achieved. And the pressure to be in control, the pressure to have authority, and there's a place for all of that, but where in God's plan does all of this fit in? And the other thing is to be confident in the reality of who God is. And we'll look a little bit more at that as we move along. But do I really know who God is? You know, as we were studying through the Old Testament this year at home, again, I was just so amazed to see the dealings of God in the lives of the Old Testament saints and just how God handled them, what he did with them. And to me, it was so fascinating to see that there are things about God that I do not know. And there are things about God that you don't know. And I think that the goal and the challenge of our lives would be to get to know him as women. Get to know who God is for yourself. And to know what he says in Scripture about how he deals with people and how he's dealt with women down through the ages. The other question you can ask yourself, am I a self-centered Christian woman? How would you, when you see the picture of a self-centered Christian woman, what would you say to that? What would be the picture that comes in your mind? Nobody would want to admit they're self-centered, I'm sure. But what would be some characteristics of a self-centered Christian woman?
Not reaching out to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about worrying about what will happen to me? I think that's we were talking last night about fretting too. I think that's a big thing for Christian women is what will happen to me? You know that in Scripture that God has called women to come alongside of men to be helpers and to be helpmeets. But you say to yourself, what if I don't get married? You know, what will happen to me? Does that mean I'm a lesser person? Does God not have something as important for me? What if God doesn't have me married right now? What will happen to me? I honestly think for women, that is a very real question. Even as married women, sometimes we worry. What will happen to me? What if my husband doesn't make a decision that I want him to make or that I think he should make? What will happen to me? Because you know you're committed. This is for life till the Lord comes or death parts you. What will happen to me? Being self-centered. Elizabeth Elliot said, I'm not different because I'm a woman. Being a Christian makes me a different woman. It's kind of interesting the way she kind of turns that around a little bit. Being a Christian makes me a different woman. Well, how do I fill that little quote? What makes me different? And it's kind of interesting. June mentioned some things, and I was telling Sonia, we're going to kind of interface here. It's interesting how the Lord does that. But some of the things that she referred to in Scripture, we're going to go back over those again. I feel like, well, I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't, but if the Lord wanted her to say it and led me to say it, I guess we want to hear it twice. So we're going to go for it. But 1 Timothy 4. And maybe somebody please would read that. 1 Timothy 4:12. Sarah, maybe if you're there.
Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Okay. Being a Christian woman makes me Being a Christian makes me a different kind of woman. When you look at 1 Timothy 4:12, and God encourages us to be an example for the believers, as a Christian woman in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And you look at the environment that God has placed you in, and you look at scripture like this, and you think to yourself, how can I, as a Christian woman, be an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity? And I would like to just continue a little bit on one point here that June brought out. What is the biggest way a Christian woman can be an example of a believing, godly Christian woman in the area of purity? I mean, it's very obvious, but let's just say it out loud. What are some of the areas where you, as a Christian woman, can be an example?
You mean like the way you dress your
Well, what do you think? How can we? Dress would be a good point. Your outside appearance.
Our actions.
Your actions. Conversation. Let's go a little bit to the dress issue. Does that mean, well, I won't get ahead of myself. We'll leave that for a little bit later. Purity is the one I want to emphasize on this particular point. Purity, being an example, one of the biggest things is the moral aspect in being a virgin. And I know that June covered the statistics of this. And as Christian young ladies, maybe some of us, this just seems so far from what, you know, so many of you have been raised in such godly homes where this has been emphasized and it hasn't been, as it were, an option. It never was an option to you to even consider this kind of thing. And you think, well, how does that make an impact on the world? You know, who do I have contact with? I want to share something that was really interesting. When one of my daughters